So, I am speaking. Oh, is this working? Yes. On the Good Samaritan. So when you think of a Good Samaritan, who do you think of? You probably think of people like Mother Teresa, Gandhi, other great people who did incredible things for people. It could just be someone sat right next to you. Someone who's willing to pay someone else's utility bills. With the soaring gas and electric prices, we all would love someone to come and do that for us right now. Or it could be as simple as someone driving someone to a hospital for a life-saving treatment. It could be someone who sends someone a card, just calling them to see how they're doing. Just being that friend, being that good Samaritan. We all have a choice in life. We can either go left or right, up or down. We can either break the speed limit or not. We can all be good Samaritans, or we cannot. So the choice is yours. Do we be a good Samaritan, or do we think about ourselves? So this whole thing comes about because a smart lawyer goes and asks Jesus a question. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" A very deep, profound question. Jesus is there and he's like, "Oh, I see." And then Jesus gives him an answer, and this lawyer thought he was very smart. "Jess, stand up for me. Look at Jess, very smart, very profound, full of loads of knowledge." She, when I quote the Bible, she's like, "That's not right. It actually is." She's very smart, very profound. She pushes me with deep theological questions that I look and go, "Huh? Thank you, Jess. Thank you. And so this lawyer pushes Jesus back and asks him this question. "Who is my neighbor?" And you're sat there thinking, "Oh, I know my neighbors. There's Bill and Karen on the left and Sandra on the right. And there's Herbert across the road with his three dogs. I know my neighbors. They're all very nice, very pleasant. I invite them around for tea every so often. I know my neighbors." And the Jewish lawyer thought he did the same. He thought he knew his neighbors. He thought, as a good Jewish man, a lawyer, someone well represented in community, well respected, that he knew his neighbors. He knew how to love his fellow Jewish men. He knew how to take care of them. He knew what to do when he met them in the street. He knew just by respecting the other Jews that he would inherit eternal life. But that is not what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about your neighbors wider afield. Because when I go into school and I say, talk about the Good Samaritan, people say, "I know my neighbors. I play with my neighbors." I'm like, the person sat next to you is your neighbor. And then there's a shock of horror on their face because a boy sat next to a girl. And the fact that this girl could be his neighbor is more scary than anything else in the world. And this Jewish man thought, "I've got it all sorted." And then, we know in the story, this guy, minding his business, going for a walk, the equivalent of walking from here to Biggleswade on a nice sunny afternoon, walking down the road, smelling the flowers, admiring the clouds, walking along, and then gets attacked by some hooligans. I don't know many hooligans, but he obviously encountered some. They robbed him. They knocked him out, took all his bus fare, his new Jordans, his iPad, and left him there. Not even with his iPhone to call for help. He was just there. And some of you look horrified, thinking you couldn't survive without your iPhone. And then he's there. And we know a Jewish priest comes by, well respected, someone who is in the temple, who gives offerings to God, who tells the people how they should love and respect each other, to look after those in need, looks down, sees this person on the floor, steps over him, continues walking. And then this Levite comes along, a great man of God from the priestly tribe. He too walks past, looks down at this man, and continues walking. And then a Samaritan comes along. So think of it. It's the equivalent of Man United and Liverpool. So let's just say the Samaritan is a diehard Liverpool fan. He will never walk alone. And then the Jews are Man United, sworn enemies. If you saw one, you cursed them, you shook your fist at them. The kids would like go at each other in the streets if they saw one. They are sworn enemies. And this Samaritan is walking along the road, sees this guy on the floor, he stops. And you wonder what is going through his mind. Because he knows this guy is Jewish. How he knows, we don't know. He knows he's Jewish. He doesn't think, let me think about this. I've got one or two options. If I help him and people find out, I'm ruined. My reputation as a Samaritan, ruined. People know I've helped the enemy. I'm ruined. But actually, he doesn't. It says he has compassion on this guy. He's going about his business. He's going down the same road. He doesn't encounter hooligans. But he sees this guy on the floor. He opens his bag and he gets out wine and oil and starts tending to this guy's wounds. He's very equipped. He carries a first aid kit with him everywhere he goes. And he looks after this guy. He doesn't think about the politics or the years of hatredness between the two of them. But he's willing to help this guy. Despite where he comes from, despite his background, he's willing to show compassion and mercy on someone he doesn't even know. How many of us are we willing to do that? How many of us would be willing to help our sworn enemies? You may not have sworn enemies, but it may be someone you dislike, someone who dislikes you for no good reason. You may just not like you because you're a Christian. If you saw them injured, what would you do? Would you leave them there on the floor? Would you be like the Samaritan? Would you get your first aid kit out? Would you tend to their wounds? Would you call for help? And the Samaritan has a donkey, puts this guy on his donkey. It's equivalent now of probably having a Ford Fiesta, very common. Puts him in the back of his car, it would be a New Day translation, drives him to a Premier Inn, looks after him. This guy spends his time, he pays money to have this guy looked after. And Jesus tells this story. And the people there must be in awe and wonder that a Samaritan is willing to help a Jew, sworn enemies. And Jesus says to the man, to this lawyer, he says, which of these three was a neighbor to this man? And the people are thinking, they're pondering, they're hoping. And the lawyer's there. He's been asked this question. He can't even utter the word Samaritan from his mouth. It's such a disdain word to say that he says the one who showed mercy to him. And Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. That despite our religion, despite our backgrounds, how are we being neighbors? How are we loving people around us? People who persecute us? Are we willing to accept them in? Are we willing to lend a helping hand? Are we willing to show mercy in people's darkest moments? Tony, can you assist? So who is your neighbor and how do you love them? A theologian said this, your neighbor is anyone who needs you see, whose needs you are able to meet. A neighbor is someone who says, what is mine is God, and what is God belongs to my neighbor, because my neighbor belongs to him. How many people's needs are you willing to meet? Because you know everything you have belongs to God. that out of love we do everything. We love our neighbours. The two greatest commandments is love the Lord your God and to love your neighbour as yourself. The love God shows to us, we therefore show to those around us. Not just the people we like, but the people we don't like. As many of you know, if you've been here before, I have a very interesting relationship with my dad. The last time I saw my dad, I was 15 years old. My parents have now been separated for 19 years. And there was a moment when I was younger where I hated my dad, literally loathed the man, that I hoped one day an acorn would fall on his head and that would be it. I thought, actually, if I took a baseball bat one dark night, that would be it. I hated him. And I moved to London, and someone was talking about, what's your dad like? And I could feel my blood pressure in me rising. Jess can testify to those moments. You can see it in my eyes. And I literally could feel myself getting tense. And he said to me, have you forgiven your dad? And I thought I was a Christian. And I said, I have. And he asked me the question, have you forgiven your dad? I think so. Have you forgiven your dad? And I said, no. That moment where, because someone hurt me, I was willing to hold a grudge. He didn't know I was hating him. I just hated him because of what he did. And realizing, actually, despite the relationship I've got between me and my dad, he's still my neighbor. That if something was to happen to him, I would do all possible right now to make sure that he was safe, to make sure he got better. And it's not just about being nice, because we can all be nice. You can walk down the street and be nice. You pick up a piece of litter, you're nice. But it's much more than that. It is mercy in action out of love. A love that breaks down all barriers, that breaks down all tensions. This is the love Jesus is talking about, where you don't see people for their ethnic roots, but you see them because God loves them. God knows them. We know the tricky situations we face in school, in work, in our families, where we may be the only Christian in our workplace, in our family. And because of that, people make fun of us. People make jokes that aren't great about us. But how do we there in that moment show them love? How are we being a witness? Are we showing this love that God has given us that we show to all those around us? Jesus fulfills the law by saying that not only should we love our enemies like the Samaritan did, but to go as far as to pray for them. How do we do that? When there's pain, there's anguish. If this Jewish guy was more conscious, would he have fought off the Samaritan? But this Samaritan was willing to do whatever it took. Praying for those that persecute you. We hear the stories about Christians in the Middle East who are being persecuted by other Muslims, by different groups of Christian groups, and actually saying, actually, I want to pray for these people. Rather than stuff stopping, they ask that we keep praying for them, that they will see life change. I had the privilege of being at New Mine 2 years ago, where Open Doors brought some ladies from North Korea who had been put in prison because of their faith. And they said, actually, they knew prayers were happening because they were seeing people's lives change. They didn't want to be released from prison. But God was using them in that situation. They showed love to the people who were beating them, who were taking the mick out of them, who made their lives a misery. They kept loving them. They kept praying for them. And because of that, people's lives were changed. What are the lives you could change if you prayed for your enemies? If you loved your enemies? If you showed mercy to your enemies? This Samaritan goes, takes this guy to an inn, stays there, pays more money to have this guy looked after, goes away and says, before he goes, says to the innkeeper, whatever it cost you, I will pay it on my way back. It wasn't just his time. It wasn't just his first aid kit. It was also his money as well. His love, his mercy, he poured out on this guy. He didn't count the reward, the Samaritan. He didn't think, oh, if I do this, it'll be great. People will write great stories about me. There'll be tales all the way down the next villages about what I've done. You see the headlines now. Samaritan saves Jew from near-death experience. He didn't think of the reward. And if in our hearts we're thinking, actually, if I do something kind for someone, it'll be great. People think I'm a great Christian. And if that's our heart, we've got it wrong. It's about freely giving that love. He didn't count the risk. He didn't think, oh, there could be the bandits could still be watching. The Levite, the priest, thought about the risk. They were too busy. They're like, oh, if I deal with this, oh, I'll be late. But this guy didn't think about the risk to his life. He just wanted to show love and mercy to someone who was broken. He didn't shift the blame. He didn't think, well, this guy deserved it. He's a Jew. We don't like Jews. He wasn't all about that. He wasn't in the blame game. And God's not like that either. God's about us actually doing something when something happens. Not saying, oh, someone else should deal with it. Why haven't they done with it? But it's about our response, our hearts. How are we responding in these situations? How are we saying, actually, I am willing to do this? No matter what. Sacrifice. When we show love and mercy, there's a sacrifice. Whether we're persecuted for it more, whether people question us, whether we're kicked out from a group, are we willing to stand up and be individuals that are willing to show this sort of love, this sort of mercy, without thinking about the sacrifice to ourselves, without counting the cost, thinking when we show love and mercy, it costs us, whether that's our time, whether that's our reputation, whether that's financial. This guy was willing to give all the money he had to help this guy get better. So who is your neighbor? And how do you love them? And as I finish this off, how are we being people of love? What makes us different to the nice person across the road? How are we showing that love? How are we showing that mercy? In our minds we may think, actually they don't deserve that. But God loves them. God knows them. So can I ask that all eyes are closed? And we're going to respond in a different way. For some of you, this may be easy. This may be stuff you already do. But for others, this is a challenge, a daily battle. You may be walking into interesting situations tomorrow. So can I ask, if this is an actual challenge for you, that you find it hard to love people who persecute you, you find it hard to show mercy to those who would be classed as enemies of you, can I ask that you just put your hand up? I'm the only one that can see. But if there's something you really want God to do in your life, to give you courage to do, please ask you that you raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You put your hands down now. Thank you. And I'm just going to pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this lawyer who asked this question. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just be moving in our hearts right now, Lord. That you know the situations we face, the challenges that we come into. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would just be working in our hearts, Lord. Help us to love those who persecute us. Help us to love those we would class as our enemies. Help us to show your love and your mercy working in action. It's not just lip service, but it's an actual intent. That you would just move in us. That you allow us to be true beacons for you, for your love, and for your kingdom. That we will see people come to know you because of what you're doing in us. That you just use ordinary broken people to do extraordinary things. So Father, we pray this in your name. Amen.